Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Nice, that was very nice. Well done, everyone. So, many of you know that I am currently undertaking a degree, a master's degree in applied theology, and one of my recent essays was on Mark's Gospel. So I have been studying Mark here and there for a little bit, and one of my bits of homework from our lovely pastor was to bring a word from Mark to you. So this is homework, if you like. So I hope that you will score me well after this, and we'll see how it goes. So today we're going to obviously be looking at Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to call this So Far So Good. Yeah, that's quite witty, isn't it? I didn't think of that. I stole that from a commentator, so, you know, it's not plagiarism if you attribute it. So that's actually Ben Witherington III, fancy name. And yeah, he's going to take us through some of this, other commentators as well. But yeah, so far, so good, right? That's where the entertainment ends, and now we're getting serious. Okay, so the parable of the sower, and also some commentators talk about the soil, because the soil is part of it as well, actually, what is receiving the word. And what we're going to talk about is how, on first reading, it sounds very much just like an agricultural tale about a farmer, perhaps, planting, nurturing seeds before the harvest so that they can then grow and flourish. Okay, on a very base level, that's kind of what it sounds like. But my first point is, nothing is concealed to those who have open hearts. Okay, so in verse 9 it says, let anyone who has ears to hear listen. And this is something that's actually repeated throughout Mark, mostly by Jesus. And it's an invitation to everybody in earshot. We're going to keep seeing that actually as we look through this. And in verse 11, it says, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those outside, everything comes in parables. Yeah? And what we could do, and it's very easily done, is we can actually misinterpret this, and this whole passage that we've just had read wonderfully to us, as being a way to purposely conceal the reality of who Jesus is. Okay? That's something we've all probably heard before. And alternatively, we could also assume that this is just Jesus trying to make his message comprehensible. We could assume it was read to uneducated people, and this is something that Jesus perhaps did to help his audience understand a good story at a very basic level. We've also probably all heard that interpretation, because it's easily done. But the reality is that at the time, a parable was actually a very different thing to a fable or a story. We know that because there are actually very distinct different words in the Greek for it. And it was a very specific and culturally relevant way to try and persuade the hearer to believe something as true. Or pointing out whether someone had the faith to understand, or the opposite, a lack of faith. So it actually points these things out. So Jesus is actually being very overt, very clear, that he is the sower. So when he's talking about the sower, it's actually Jesus talking about himself. So he's using a persuasive technique. You know, he's trying to say he is the teacher, he is the sower, the teacher, he is the word who's become flesh, he is the Messiah, and that there are people who are directly choosing to ignore this message, okay? They're directly choosing to ignore who he is and actually work actively against him and what he teaches. Okay, so when he's sowing the word, he's teaching about the truth, and people are choosing to reject that. And that's what this is all about. I know it's a hard word to hear sometimes. So this parable isn't actually offering a surprising message about the identity of Jesus, because the author of Mark makes it very clear. You know, this is only chapter 4 in Mark. There's not been a lot of Mark's gospel so far, but the author has already made it very clear that Jesus is operating within the context of John the Baptist, the voice crying out in the wilderness, saying, you know, this is Jesus, he is the Messiah. That's what John's whole message was, right? So John the Baptist had already come to warn the people to repent, to change their ways. And of course, this is in Mark, where Jesus constantly refers to himself as the Son of Man, which is actually a reference to Daniel in the Old Testament, which constantly brings to mind the end times and what is to come. So he's constantly being clear who he is. Bear in mind that thought of the end times, because we're going to come back to that. So actually, Jesus, all along, is being really clear about who he is, and he's actually saying that his parable is only understood by those who have open ears and hearts and are willing to believe in him. And that could be anyone. That could be anyone. It's actually a person's choice whether or not they open their hearts to him. So that's actually pretty nice, isn't it? And it's particularly interesting that just before Jesus says all of this, this particular parable, we read of the writers of the law and the Pharisees, Jewish leaders, who publicly reject Jesus over and over. And we're still very early on in Mark. Okay, so that's the context Jesus is then saying this in. So we can be encouraged by this. It's actually great news. It's an invitation to everybody. We can be really encouraged that Jesus is making his teachings clear to us. Okay? He wants us to understand him and be close to him. It is an open invitation to us. It's our choice how we respond to that, but it is an open invitation, which I think is fantastic. So being a follower of Jesus isn't always an easy path. You could be rejected like the Pharisees, like the Pharisees rejected Jesus. It's easy to understand, but Jesus makes it easy to understand who he is and how we should live in response to that. Okay? So lots of people say they're looking for direction and a word for God. We've all been there, I think, wanting to know what the next steps are, what we should be doing. Sometimes we read the Word of God, the Bible, and we think, that it's hidden around the pages, that maybe there are some bad clues out there, or maybe it's just our fault for not seeing them. But the reality is that it's actually very clear in the Bible. It's just that sometimes we might not like what it says, and I think we've all felt that sometimes when we've read something in the Bible, that it can be quite hard to hear. But let's be encouraged that Jesus is making his message and the truth very clear to us. It's about how we choose to receive that. So my next point, living fruitfully. So how should we live then? We've just said Jesus is making it clear to us how we should live. Well, then what does the Bible say about it? Well, the author of Mark, actually, once Jesus has said, I am the sower, okay, the author of Mark actually then interprets it and applies it for us. And he says, what we should do about it in verses 14 to 20. So verse 14, it says, the sower sows the word. So we should be like Jesus, okay? We should be sharing the good news of Jesus, our Saviour, with those around us. And not just by words, though that's scary enough, isn't it, sometimes? Not just by quoting Bible verses, not just by testimony, although all of those things have their place, absolutely, but also by living a fruitful life that shows others how we have been changed by Jesus, even when the path isn't easy. That's a pretty tall order, actually. It's tough. But that's what Jesus is saying. That's the application that the author of Mark is giving us. So how have we been changed then? So verse 19 says, but the worries of this age, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Okay, there's a lot of agricultural references in here, isn't there? So fruit, our produce, the things that we produce in our life is our fruit. So we need to be actively on guard against the things that this verse warns us about, because they could derail us. Okay, they could distract us from our walk with Jesus, and they are really easy to be distracted by. They really are. So, our culture is what tells us that these things are brilliant. The Bible is telling us something different, which is very hard to process. Okay, and Galatians 3 actually talks about a church being deceived by the world and its views being warped by culture and worldly expectations. It's not a strange tale to us even now in this modern era. Galatians 3 is just one example of that. And Galatians 5:19-26 contrasts how those without Jesus live versus what we can be when we choose daily to walk with him. And it does have to be a daily decision. It really does. Sometimes it's a minute-by-minute decision. So Galatians 5:22-23. So this is all just after we've been told about this church being deceived by the world. Then we hear the famous verse about the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And this is actually a very challenging list of produce for our lives, of fruit for our lives. And actually, when you look at that list of things, there's very little earthly, cultural motivation for us to do any of those things, really. But, you know, this is just like we've said, the directions are for us. It's just up to us whether we use our ears to hear and listen, like Jesus says in Mark. Okay? It's very hard to hear, but it is our choice whether we respond to that. So, last point then, bringers of God's kingdom. Okay, so many didn't believe in Jesus because he wasn't who they were expecting. He wasn't who they wanted. Okay, so they were under severe oppression from Roman rulers, and it was really severe, seriously awful, and they wanted a political leader to free them from the Romans. And, you know, that wasn't the reality of what they saw in Jesus, okay? You know, the whole nation of Israel were being oppressed by the Romans, and they were expecting a Messiah. They absolutely were, but they were wanting somebody who would free them from Roman captivity. And, you know, Jesus, the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, that's not the poster. You know, he's not the poster boy for freedom against the Roman oppression at all, is he? He was crucified at the end of the day. So Jesus' message was very controversial. It was very countercultural at the time, and it still is, which is quite interesting all these years later. And, you know, this is why he's using this persuasive technique, and, you know, that's the legacy that we should follow. So it's not just about us being countercultural for the sake of it. You know, just believing in God's objective truth actually is what we should be doing. The truth of the Word of God, no matter what culture may tell us. Okay, so the Bible, you know, obviously it means what it meant in the context of the time, and we should take that into account. But at the end of the day, it is truth. Okay, it absolutely is truth. So, you know, Jesus talks, God talks, the Bible talks about being set apart, okay? And that's kind of the role of the church, actually, is to be set apart in the world, not of the world. So we must live a life which is different than what other people might expect. I'm not talking about in the church. Hopefully we should have positive, high expectations that build each other up. But you know, when we're talking about the rest of the world, they expect very different things from us. And certainly, if you read the media, they have a whole different set of expectations for the church. But actually, we should just constantly be staying true to the Bible and to the Word of God and the message of Jesus. So, you know, with that comes a lot of adversity. It comes a lot of suffering in different ways. In different parts of the world, there's different types of suffering that the church endures. But the point is that it's a tough path. Yeah, this is a nice encouraging message. It's a tough path. And actually, that's what the author of Mark was trying to convey. You know what? Being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, it's a tough path. Okay, but we can find encouragement in it. And Jesus knows us, he walks with us through the circumstances that life throws out at us. Okay, and that's the main encouragement of the Gospel of Mark, actually. And this part of Mark is no exception. So thankfully, we're not under the rule of Nero, like the first hearers were of the Gospel of Mark. If you want to read up about Nero, you can hear just how horrible he was. So thankfully, we don't have to experience that, though we still have our own struggles and adversity. But we can be encouraged that God is with us no matter what, and no matter what life throws at us, no matter what our hardships are, He will make good come out of even the bad circumstances of the world, okay? The bad circumstances don't come from God. That's not who God is. That's very clear in the message of Jesus. But Romans 8:28 confirms to us that God can still make good things happen even out of the bad situations. That is just amazing. So God has given us the purpose of bringing his kingdom to earth. Yeah, Jesus set the golden standard there. And we have work to do before Jesus comes back in spreading and living the good news. Okay, so don't tell me you don't have a purpose. It's very clearly here on the pages of the Bible. Okay, so part of that work is through prayer. So if you don't know where to begin, you know, read the Bible and pray. And Jesus teaches us how to pray. And one of the first things that he says in Matthew 6:10 is, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We've all heard that. So let's be bringers of the kingdom, because it's not fully here yet. Yes, the victory was won on the cross, but there's still work to do before Jesus comes back. And we want as many people to go up or here on heaven, whatever you believe about heaven. We want as many people to be there in heaven with us, don't we? So the whole parable of Mark 4 is echoed in 1 Peter. So 1 Peter 2 verse 9. It's 2 verse 4 to 5, sorry. "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by people, but chosen and honoured by God." You see how this connects very clearly to Mark 4 that we've just been looking at? "You yourselves, as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to honour God." Zona says. "Yes, being built as a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Okay, that's our purpose here. Bringers of the kingdom. We are living stones. We're examples of who God is as we walk around, and the things that we do, the product of our lives, are evidence for who we are, but also who God is. Yeah, you see? So though the world might not like the message that we have, actually, you know, we've still got to follow through with that message. So going back to Mark 4 then, verse 20, "And those like seeds sown on good ground hear the word, welcome it, and produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown." So the author of Mark is actually referring here to when Jesus comes back for us, when his kingdom comes once and for all. Okay, so when Jesus returns, this is the kind of thing we'll see. Mark, the author of Mark, is telling us that we'll be amazed just how many of us there are who will join him in his kingdom. Okay, so sometimes it can feel like we're out there completely alone, completely without anyone. You know, church is wonderful. We come here on a Sunday, we see there are a bunch of other people with the same struggles, the same encouragements as us. But when we're back out there in the real world the rest of the week, sometimes it can feel like a lonely path, okay? It can feel very uphill. But actually, Mark is saying to the people who are struggling under the rule of Nero, you know what? The world's tough, but actually, we have a purpose. And we are not alone, because Jesus is walking there with us. He's been down a very similar path. He was rejected too, will be rejected. But actually, he's with us. And in the end, who's got the real victory? Yeah, we do. Okay, so it's actually a hugely encouraging message. You know, even when the path is hard, we should stay strong and know that it's all worthwhile if we continue to choose to be fruitful and work towards bringing his kingdom here. Okay, that's pretty good, isn't it? All right, let's pray together. Lord God, thank you so much for your encouraging word. Thank you so much that you have given us a purpose, that we need not worry what we need to do next, Lord, because you are with us every step of the world. I pray for our situations in life, that you will walk with us, Lord God, that you will go before us, you'll show us what steps to take, and you'll give us the courage and the knowledge, the understanding, the wisdom to take those steps and take them as well as we can. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much, Ariel.